Chapter 4.
Oh, shit!
I rolled over and began to shake the princesses as the banging on the door continued.
Everyone, wake up! There's someone at the door!
Oh, my God! What's going on?
Sienna yawned as she sat straight up from the magic carpet and rubbed her eyes.
What's that noise?
That's someone banging on the door, I snickered. We'd practically been begging to get caught the night before, and I supposed we'd gotten what we wished for.
So all of you need to get up now!
Why?
Jessamine moaned, but she sat up and started to grope around for her dress.
I don't think I barely slept at all. Why is it so bright in here?
Because it's morning, silly. I poked my dark-haired wife in the side, and she giggled.
I'm trying.
Ariana groaned as she leaned up on her elbow and blinked her wide aqua eyes a few times.
How much time do we have?
The pounding on the door started to get louder, but I couldn't keep the grin off my face. The thought of someone seeing me with my three spectacular wives was enticing, but I didn't want someone to try to murder us for trespassing either. We don't have any time at all, I told the mermaid with a smirk.
Fine, I'm getting up,
Ariana grumbled.
Where are my clothes?
Sienna and Jessamine had already stood up and put on their dresses, and I grabbed my scratchy wool pants and hopped around as I tried to put them on. I smirked when I noticed that, as usual, all of our clothing had at least some cum stains all over them, particularly where Ariana grinded on me last night. The princesses and I were pretty much a hot mess right now. But when I thought of going back to the tavern to try and find more clothes, I started to laugh out loud.
What's so funny, Joe?
Jessamine asked. But apparently my laughter was contagious because a huge smile spread across her face. We were just here with the goats and someone's going to break the door down and see us. I just can't. Tears literally started to run down my face.
I guess it is pretty funny,
Sienna snickered.
But we need to put our shoes on and grab our packs.
I looked around the barn and saw the princesses had largely gotten our things organized and ready to go. Jessamine even turned the magic carpet back into a small cloth with a brief snap of her fingers, and then she shoved it into her pack. Meanwhile, I was attempting to put my shirt on, but it had gotten turned inside out and the arms were tangled. Great job, everyone. I just need to... And then I heard the unmistakable sound of an axe splitting through wood.
Shit!
Sienna swore.
What are we gonna do? I don't think we have time for shoes, but everyone grab your boots and your weapons and put your packs on.
Jessamine hissed.
If you're quiet enough, I think I have an idea.
We followed the dark-haired princess's instructions, and once we had everything together after a few short moments, I looked over at Jessamine. What's the plan? I asked the raven-haired beauty, as the banging on the door continued. Sounds like we're pretty close to being in big trouble.
Shh! I need to concentrate,
Jessamine hissed, and I watched her close her eyes and clench her fists. Suddenly, I began to experience an incredibly strange sensation, and I closed my eyes as my stomach rolled. Then my arms and legs started to tingle painfully, and my skin seemed too big for my body for a moment before it tightened again around my muscles. Something seemed to be growing on my back, too. And when I tried to reach my hands around to feel what it was, I realized I didn't have hands at all. I had paws. Also, everything was suddenly gigantic around me, and the walls of the barn stall towered over my head. Then I looked around for the princesses, but all I could see were three small gray mice surrounding me. Jessamine, you're a genius, I tried to say, but all that came out was a tiny squeak. Just then, the wood on the barn door split completely, and an angry-looking man in a heavy wool coat reached his hand through the hole, undid the bolt, and slammed the door open.
Who the fuck is in here?
The angry farmer shouted, and I tried to remain as silent and motionless as possible. The man stomped around the barn and looked in all the goat stalls, but the only sound other than their bleating was his footsteps.
What the hell? I could have sworn I heard something in here. Oh, fuck, I can't believe I fucked up my barn door for nothing.
He turned to walk outside again, and he slammed the broken door back against the wall of the barn in anger as he stormed away. I looked around at the mouse princesses, and I wasn't sure how to communicate that we needed to get out of here as soon as possible, if it wasn't already obvious. So I squeezed my eyes shut as hard as I could and tried to send them a telepathic message, but I wasn't getting any signals back in response. Maybe it was Eudora's necklace that gave us the power, and with it gone, so was the ability. I didn't know for sure, but I did know I couldn't speak with my wives like I wanted to. So I just internally crossed my tiny rodent fingers and I started to run across the dusty barn floor. When I looked back, I saw the three other mice were also running behind me. But I wasn't sure which princess was which because they all looked identical. Since we were so tiny, it seemed to take forever to get all the way to the door. I ran and ran and ran, and although I was completely out of breath, I knew we couldn't stop. When we finally reached the field outside, I saw the farmer in the coat heading back over to the barn with another man, and they were both armed with axes. Shit! We got out of there just in time, I squeaked to myself. I wasn't sure how long Jessamine's spell was going to last, but I noticed a thick copse of trees about 100 feet away through the thick, damp grass, and it seemed like miles away. As I started to run through the grass, I shuddered because of how disgusting the dewy blades felt against my body. The bright green blades towered over me, and I sincerely hoped I was heading in the right direction, since I couldn't see anything beyond a couple inches in front of my face. The bright early morning glare wasn't helping as the light reflected against the shiny grass, and I tried my hardest not to get disoriented. Despite how discombobulating the current situation was, I persisted in racing across the field in what I hoped was the correct direction toward the stand of pine trees. Soon I had a cramp in my tiny mouse side, and I was gasping for breath, but I just kept running. The princesses all kept up with my pace too, which relieved me. And after what seemed like an eternity, I reached the first tree. There was finally a break in the grass, and I stumbled around pebbles, which seemed as big as boulders at my tiny size. I couldn't hear any voices anymore, and I figured we were relatively safe as mice. But I had no idea how long Jessamine's illusion was going to hold. So I looked around at the princesses, and they stared back at me with their beady black eyes and squeaked loudly. Then I ran behind the trunk of one of the trees as they followed, and just as soon as I thought we were concealed, I experienced the strange sensation of my organs shifting around again as I ballooned back up to human size. A moment later, I looked down, and I was amused when I saw I was still covered in gray fur. Then I glanced over at the furry princesses, though, and they seemed oddly sexy. Their voluptuous bodies were still covered in coats of soft, downy fur. But it must have been the remainder of my mouse brain talking because I definitely didn't think I was into rodents. Then I looked back toward the barn, which I realized was still fairly close to us despite how long our run had seemed. I could hear the two men shouting to one another, and I knew we still weren't safe. So I turned back to my wives and gestured with my head that we should head over to a thicker patch of woods a few yards away. "Come on," I hissed, as I started to run toward the dense evergreen forest. But I was still barefoot, and as I sprinted across the rocky ground, I cut my feet. Oh, fuck, that hurts! I didn't stop, though, and we headed a couple 100 yards through the trees until I was pretty sure we couldn't be seen. Then we slowed to a stop, and princesses and I all looked around at each other as we gasped for breath.
Mice!
Sienna cackled and clapped her hands together.
Jessamine, that was genius!
I agree,
Ariana replied. And she patted her dark-haired sister wife on the shoulder.
It was a bit scary when we weren't able to speak to one another, but it was a wonderful idea.
Thanks, everyone,
Jessamine said with a big smile on her face.
It just came to me.
So we made it to the woods, which is wonderful, Jessamine, and I'm so impressed, too. I glanced around at my wives and grinned. But I'm half-naked, dirty, barefoot, and a little freezing, so should we clean ourselves up a little before we get back on the road?
Yes, we don't even have our cloaks on, and I just realized how cold I am.
Sienna admitted as she wrapped her slender arms around herself and shivered.
Let's go through our packs and see what supplies can help us.
Thankfully, Jessamine had been able to shrink everything down with us when we were in our rodent forms. So we sat down on the pine needles and began to dig through our belongings. Sienna quickly unearthed some hard biscuits from her bag and passed them around, and I realized how starving I'd been. Then as we ate, we spread out the rest of our items on the ground. Jessamine had stuffed the dresses and cloaks from Hilda deep into her bag, and she pulled them out now and handed one to each of her sister wives.
Ooh, I almost forgot about these!
Ariana examined the garment in her hands, which was made of heavy brown wool and appeared identical to the dress the tavern keeper's daughter had been wearing the night before.
It's not beautiful, but it does seem practical.
So I think we need to keep a low profile from now on, I told my wives as I looked around at each of them. The more we can blend in with the peasants, the better, and I think these dresses will help. I just wish you all weren't so incredibly beautiful.
Oh, Joe, stop it.
Jessamine giggled and gently poked me in the side. But I was sure she knew I was right.
I wish I could disguise our faces, but that mouse illusion took a lot out of me. I think you're right, though. Did you see Harold's face last night? He was definitely excited when we walked in the door, and when Joe pulled out the coins?
Yeah, he was the worst, I agreed. So we should do our best to keep our heads down and avoid people like him. Do you want to change now? I wouldn't mind if you put on another show for me.
For you? Yes.
Sienna nodded.
For anything else that might be in these woods, hell no. The excitement of being seen seems less exciting since we were almost caught by a man with an axe and had to turn into rodents. Although, I do think mice are cute.
I also agree. We should do this as quickly as possible.
Ariana added as she glanced nervously around the dim woods.
I'm ready to get away from this horrible town.
So the princesses all stood up, quickly slipped out of their colorful linen-like dresses, and put on the dresses from Hilda. I couldn't help but admire the view for a second while they were changing, but I tried to keep my thoughts under control. When my wives put on their new heavy black cloaks over their dresses and pulled them up to cover their heads, I thought they could almost pass as peasant women. Then they each put on a pair of heavy wool stockings and their boots, and I was glad we were almost ready to go because I was starting to feel antsy. Finally, I put my shirt, jacket, and boots back on, and I was glad I'd gotten simple, warm clothing from one of the Lady Starlight's crew members. Then I packed everything back into my bag and ate the final bite of my biscuit, and with Jeannie's wrath on my belt, I felt strong enough to face anything that came our way.
How do I look?
Sienna ran her hands down her dress and twirled around, and then she began to fiercely scratch the long sleeves over her arms.
It's a little bit itchy, but I'll survive.
You look like the hottest peasant that ever lived. I gave the blonde a kiss on the cheek. You all do. Suddenly I heard a strange wolf song from a distance, and a shudder ran down my spine.
Let's leave.
Jessamine put her pack on her back and patted her scimitars to make sure they were in place.
I can't stand to listen to that again. Agreed,
Sienna said with a shiver.
Are we ready?
The rest of us nodded, and we trekked back toward the edge of the woods. As we ducked behind a large tree, I looked toward the barn, but I didn't see anyone or hear any voices.
So I suppose we should have discussed this before, I said in a low voice. But how are we going to travel? Blending in is a positive, but I wish we had a better sense of where we're going.
The magic carpet would be most efficient,
Jessamine replied, and she pulled the small, colorful cloth out from the top of her pack.
I kept it on hand for us, so I'll go ahead and transform it again.
In a flash, the cloth was turned into the beautiful rug. It rested in the wet grass, and I could tell Jessamine was trying to move it by the determined frown on her face. Then she squeezed her eyes closed and clenched her fists, but nothing happened. Hey, if you need a little extra time to build your powers back up, it's okay, I reassured the dark-haired beauty. I know we're all tired, and you're bearing the weight of a lot of illusions right now. A walk won't kill us.
I'm so sorry, everyone.
Jessamine sighed.
I want to help us so badly, but I'm not sure I can manage it at the moment. This strange forest still makes me feel weak. It's okay,
Sienna said, and she and Ariana pulled their sister wife in for a hug.
Like Joe said, it won't hurt us to walk. It'll help us get in shape in case we, gods forbid, need to hike again, or whatever Joe called that terrible climbing. Maybe when you're less tired, we can try again later. Thanks, everyone.
Jessamine smiled, and then she transformed the rug back into the cloth and put it into her bag.
I wish this trip was going to be easier.
I think everything will be better once we get on the road, I remarked with a smile, and I put what I hoped was a comforting hand on my black-haired wife's shoulder. I can see that if we stay at the perimeter of these woods, we'll reach the road again soon. That way, if we hear or see anything suspicious, we can duck back behind the trees and hopefully stay out of sight.
Sounds like a good plan, Joe,
Ariana said with a nod.
I think it's clear we need to head away from this village and back up the hill, away from the water. This road seems to end here anyway.
Oh, uphill again,
Sienna groaned, but then she grinned.
I'm just joking. I'll be fine.
So we followed my plan and crept along the edge of the woods. The four of us made it past the barn with no incident, and I sighed in relief. We stayed in the forest until we were a few hundred yards away from the edge of the creepy village. And then I thought it was probably safe enough to walk on the road itself, so that's what we did. As we traveled down the uneven dirt road, I could feel the rocks underfoot, even through my heavy boots, and I would have killed for some pavement right about now. The evergreen woods were thick on both sides of the path, and they cast eerie shadows across us as we traveled. I was glad I couldn't hear any disturbing animal noises from between the trees, but I shuddered at what I knew lurked within. My eyes hurt from the grayish glare, and I squinted as we trudged up the hill for several minutes in silence. Then we saw a man on a horse trotting in our direction. The princesses and I all stopped in place to watch his approach, and I hoped he might be able to give us some of the answers we were looking for.
Excuse me, can you tell us the way to Princess Rachel's castle? I called out as he came toward us. And when I didn't get an immediate response, I spoke even louder. Excuse me!
The man slowed his horse to a walk to give us the once-over, and I didn't get the feeling he was going to be friendly because he had a totally blank expression on his face as he stared at us. The man was skinny, and his clothes were threadbare, and his horse's spotted black-and-white coat was patchy.
You just keep following this road, the man finally rasped. But the royal family has never done a thing to help me, and our kingdom is suffering.
Then he kicked the horse hard in the sides and galloped away from us.
It seems like no one around here is happy right now,
Sienna sighed as we began our uphill march again.
Though I suppose we should just keep walking, and I'm sure we'll get to civilization eventually.
I agree, I responded, and I flashed my blonde wife a big smile. Thanks for trying to keep our spirits up. I don't know if we'll find the castle, but even a friendlier town would be great.
I'm starting to enjoy walking more,
Ariana told us with a shy grin.
It's even getting nice out,
Jessamine said, and she pointed up at the pale blue sky.
Look, it's sunny now.
Due to the bright sun, it was starting to warm up as we walked along the path. The forest to our right side had gotten sparser, and I could even see a rocky beach through the trees. I could also smell the salty, fresh sea air and hear the waves crashing, and my spirit started to lift. I would have been even happier if we knew where we were going, but I was encouraged that the rocky path seemed to get more worn as we walked along, even if we still weren't running into many travelers.
Where is everyone?
Sienna asked as she echoed my thoughts.
I'd have thought we'd see more people by now. Look, there are some people walking toward us,
Jessamine chirped as she gestured up ahead and to our right, and I saw a young couple headed down the road on foot. Like the man we'd come across earlier on his horse, the passers-by appeared down on their luck and had wary expressions on their faces. The woman wore a tattered brown shawl over her shoulders, and the man had patches on the knees of his pants. They both glanced over at us and then quickly looked away as they passed, but I wondered if they could tell us anything about the castle's location.
Jessamine, I hissed. Ask them where the castle is. Just don't seem too... pretty and charming.
Okay,
my black-haired wife said, and she laughed.
I'll try.
Thank you, Jessamine, I smiled at her. They may not be helpful, but it can't hurt.
The couple had fully passed us by now, and Jessamine jogged after them.
Pardon me,
the princess called out in a loud voice, and the young woman turned around to look at my dark-haired wife. I could tell the peasant woman immediately noticed Jessamine's beauty, and her face dropped even more. But my dark-haired wife pressed on.
Would you happen to know where the castle is, ma'am?
I couldn't hear the response from my position, but I watched as the woman brushed a strand of lank brown hair out of her face, said something to Jessamine, and pointed up the hill, so I thought that was encouraging. Jessamine flashed the peasant woman a grateful smile and patted her on the shoulder. Then the black-haired princess headed back toward us, and I hoped for good news.
I saw her point,
Ariana said to her sister wife.
Does that mean we're actually going the right way?
We are,
Jessamine nodded.
Unfortunately, it's still at least a couple miles away.
A couple miles? I replied, and I flashed what I hoped was a reassuring grin at my wives. Well, that's not bad at all. We can definitely do that. We walked in silence for several minutes as the breeze whipped through my hair, and I was relieved when the path began to curve downhill. The day continued to grow warmer, though, and the princesses finally resorted to removing their cloaks. They also had to keep pushing their shiny locks out of their faces as the wind heightened. And I wasn't sure how they kept their hair so beautiful when we'd been on the road, slept inside a barn last night, and ended up covered in cum and sweat. But I figured it must have been another example of their princess magic. I knew their beauty was potentially asking for trouble, but aside from asking Jessamine to perform another illusion, they were stuck being their normal, gorgeous selves. Suddenly, Ariana pointed out in front of us.
"Do you see that?"
the mermaid asked in an excited voice.
"I think we actually might be able to catch a glimpse of the castle from here."
I squinted, and I thought I could see what she was talking about. A huge hill loomed ahead of us, and it appeared there was a large structure on top of it. I couldn't see yet what laid between us and the giant hill, though, because the downhill path was still so curvy, and the forest had grown dense again on both sides. But if I looked hard enough, I thought I could see shining water out in the distance.
"Yay!"
Jessamine squealed and clapped her hands.
"We actually might make it sometime today. I was getting worried."
"Me too," I finally admitted. "This walk has been all right, but I'd like to get somewhere."
"It looks like it's across the water."
Sienna squinted into the bright sun.
"This is getting to be a very interesting trip."
The road curved off to the right as it followed the shoreline, and we continued to keep our eyes on the prize. The sound of waves was getting louder, too, and I wondered what was in store for us. Then, all of a sudden, the road twisted again, and I could see something else off in the distance. I finally glimpsed the end of the land a few hundred yards ahead of us, and what seemed like endless water stretched in front of that. The sea sparkled blue-green in the sun, and even though it was beautiful, I was a little confused about where we were going.
"Wow,"
Jessamine gushed as she pushed her long dark hair out of her face.
"This part of the kingdom is gorgeous."
"I just hope we don't have to swim again," I joked. I could still see the outline of the castle, but it wasn't apparent how we were going to get there now.
"Come on, let's run."
Jessamine grabbed a hold of Sienna and Ariana's hands, and she pulled them forward until they were almost sprinting. The road was so curvy I couldn't see them for a moment, and as much as I didn't feel like running, I didn't want to let them out of my sights either. "Hey, wait up!" I called out, as I attempted to jog after the princesses. My feet still hurt a little bit from walking across the sharp rocks earlier, but my wives didn't seem to be having any trouble. And then I saw something that made the whole journey worthwhile, because it became clear how we were going to get to the castle. A gigantic stone bridge now laid in front of us, and beyond that was a majestic castle on a rocky island. The huge structure was on a high hill, and I could see it was surrounded by houses interspersed with fir trees.
"Are you ready to run yet, Joe?"
Sienna teased me. "Hell yeah," I replied with a huge grin. "Now that we're finally getting somewhere." I grabbed her hand and jogged along with my wives toward the bridge, and my heart had started to pound inside my chest with excitement at how close we were to our destination. The bridge appeared to be around a mile long, but at least it was made of smooth stones instead of pebbles. So the princesses and I slowed to a walk as we continued to hold hands. I almost felt like I was on vacation when I gazed at the beautiful view around me, and all the troubles we'd been experiencing in Rachel's kingdom seemed to fade away. I thought it was strange we didn't pass any other travelers considering how close we were to the castle, though, and I wondered what was really ahead. When we made it across the bridge, it became apparent circumstances still weren't great. The buildings in the town surrounding the castle were run down, and the villagers around us had sad, worn-out looks on their faces. And then I noticed there weren't any children. I wondered if that had anything to do with what we'd heard at the tavern the night before, and a chill ran down my spine. There were usually kids running through village squares and mothers holding babies, but I didn't see anything like that here.
"It's a little weird,"
Jessamine whispered into my ear.
"Everywhere we go, everyone seems so despondent. I wonder what's going on." "You notice what's strange, right?"
Sienna asked from my other side. "Yeah, no kids," I replied, and I could feel my lips curl down into a frown. "Remember what Harold said about the children sleeping? This whole thing gives me the creeps."
"This is very odd,"
Ariana agreed with a furrowed brow.
"This must be part of what Rachel was talking about when she mentioned trouble in her kingdom."
"Sleeping children, possessed bears, I shuddered as goosebumps prickled up on my arms. It's obvious things aren't great around here.
"I hope we can help them,"
Jessamine said, and I saw my dark-haired wife's lips press into a thin line of determination. We began to travel up the long, steep path to the castle itself, and I noticed we were all starting to get out of breath again.
Do you think they'll believe we're princesses since we're wearing these simple dresses?
Jessamine panted.
I think Rachel will, because she sent for us.
Sienna replied with a shrug.
King Liron may have told her to expect us soon when he was up on the surface, too.
Ariana's father had sent us immediately to Rachel after we'd fought Eudora and saved the Undersea Kingdom. But he hadn't given us much intelligence in the way of what was actually going on here. We'd finally almost made it to the castle walls, and I saw that even the guards standing on the other side of the drawbridge looked somewhat disheveled. Not only were they not standing at attention, but one of the men had even set his spear down and was leaning against the castle wall with a bored expression. Their uniforms looked dingy and wrinkled, too, and their plumed helmets were askew. This place is so fucking strange, I muttered to myself. Now that we were at the top of the hill, the wind was roaring again. Then a cloud passed over the sun as we approached one of the guards, and I shivered.
What's your business here?
The guard looked at us with a suspicious expression, and I noticed there were even holes in the pants of his uniform.
Hello!
Sienna stepped forward.
My name is Princess Sienna, and this is Princess Jessamine, Princess Ariana, and our husband Joe. We're here to request an audience with Her Royal Highness, Princess Rachel.
Princess Rachel?
The guard echoed as his brow furrowed in confusion.
Princess Rachel hasn't lived here in a long time.